And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.
When we first look at it, today's gospel narrative seems just a little unusual. I mean, somebody comes to our Lord and requests him to heal his son, and instead of doing anything, our Lord just sort of says, oh, you won't believe unless you see a sign or a wonder. It's a sort of almost a kind of rude pushing the man back. And so we need to maybe consider just a little bit. This was a nobleman, one of the leaders of the community, and coming, and maybe he was coming with his full entourage. I'm a very important person in this mixed community at Capernaum, very wealthy, and my son's at the point of death. Do something about this. May have been that sort of attitude of, I ought to be taken care of. You heal all the sick and all of these people that show up at your door, or the doorstep wherever you're staying, to be healed, and heal my son. And our Lord, so you want another miracle. Remember, the end of his life, he was sent to Herod's court, and Herod was so happy. Herod thought, hey, look, I'll finally get to see this guy and see him do some magic trick, some miracle. Our Lord just said, look, I'm not doing this for show. And then the second request. The request of a father, not of a nobleman, but the request of a parent. Come before my son dies. That cry of need. And our Lord immediately responds to the cry of need. He doesn't go anywhere. He just tells the man, your son is healed. And then we come to perhaps the real point of the story, that he believed what Jesus said to him, and he goes his way and finds out that, yes, as a matter of fact, the sign and wonder did happen. The servants have come to basically tell him, don't bother the guy, your son's okay. And he's saying, excuse me, when did this all happen? Oh, yeah, I know. Now, I think this account contains within itself some very important advice for us in our following of Christ. You may remember in today's epistle, there is that line, having done all to stand. Our Lord himself asked the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? Many of us go through periods of anxiety, despair, blackness, periods where when we try to say our prayers, we're just simply reading the words. We don't feel anything. Religion isn't making us feel better, feel happier, doing what people think. They want a religion that feels good. They think the the main purpose of church is to sort of give you a pleasant rush, you know, and it's socially acceptable. You don't have to worry about breaking any laws or anything. You can just feel good about everything. Of course, I was raised in a quite different culture where fundamentalist circles in the South, the point of going to church was to make you feel miserable and to realize how bad your sins were. The preacher wasn't going to tell you that, you know, oh, you're good people, you're doing all these sorts of things. He was going to tell you, you know, you have fallen, you have erred, you have gone astray, you have lost the grace of God. Quite different view, perhaps. Too much of modern religion tends to be what Bonhoeffer referred to as cheap grace, that just we don't have to do any repenting, that, you know, God loves you and he's a very indulgent father and it doesn't really matter. Just feel good about it. No. We go through these dark times because we know that religion is not guaranteeing that everything is going to be beautiful. We know that Christ suffered and that we may have to suffer with him. We know that we walk through many a dark valley, even the valley of the shadow of death. But we walk through that valley in peace because we know that one is with us and he will never leave or forsake us. And so what we need to learn is the lesson of this nobleman in Capernaum, to trust Christ's word and go forward, to keep on keeping on, as they say, that it isn't that we're always to be sort of with a silly smile on our face of everything good. No, there's real suffering. There's real agony. I mean, think of the Blessed Virgin Mary as much of a person who was with Christ from the very beginning. And yet, the sword pierces through her heart. She sees her precious child with all the love of a mother and with all of the knowledge of a daughter of Israel, that this is the Messiah, wounded, dying on the tree, given into her arms to hold for one last time. This is not a joyful, happy occasion. There is sorrow that we can perhaps only begin to feel. And yet there is trust. And yet there is belief that God is working with us. You see, this is something, if I may be incorrect politically, this is something that our Muslim brothers and sisters don't understand. They just can't believe that a good man, a prophet of God, that God would let this happen to him. You know, this can't have been real. It must have been some substitution, something else. You know, where was God when this was happening? That was what everybody said. He trusted in God. Let God deliver him. Where was God at the crucifixion? God was there at the heart of the crucifixion. It wasn't where was God that we should ask. It is why man did this? Where were we? Where were all of our representatives? Where were they at the crucifixion? You see, we may find ourselves, I hope we don't find ourselves with the mocking crowd, but too often it's easy to find ourselves with the the conveniently absent disciples. They just thought it was, as St. Peter said, I'm going fishing. I've got something else to do. God is there in the midst of the suffering on the cross. And God is with us. With whatever darkness, whatever sadness, whatever sorrow we fear, we talk about the seven deadly sins, you know, pride, lust, anger, envy, etc. And I think that given the infinite creativity of human beings, that our generation has discovered a new deadly sin. No, we weren't content with the seven standard ways to cut our souls off from God, but we've invented a new one. It's the sin of worry. Worry. Now, this doesn't mean you shouldn't be prudent, that you go along, oh, la, 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 everything will be fine. Of course, you conduct your affairs prudently. But you realize that God is in control. And you don't have to worry about what if this happens, what if that happens, what if. I've told you before the wonderful story of the Jewish mother in New York City back in the 1940s. And whenever the children left the apartment, she would throw her eyes heavenward and say, okay, Lord, I watched out for them while they were here at home. They're out the door now. They're your problem. Keep an eye on them. There's a confidence. Maybe it's not a polite prayer, but it's a confidence. You see that God rules. And we may not know why he's letting something happen. We may be like Job saying, you know, look, can't you at least explain to me what's happening? And you know the answer that Job got? God didn't say, well, Job, now you see this happened to you for this reason. God basically says, were you there when I created the world? Do you know the course of all the stars? Are you familiar with all of the beings that dwell in the sea or on land? Do you have full details and a plan for running this world that I've created? For you see, in heaven, we may see things fully and clearly. But a God that you can understand is a creation of your mind and not the true God. But what you can know is that the nature of God, The very basic definition of God is love. And it is God's love that surrounds us, that takes care of us. And, you know, this image of God as our parent, God our Father, well, there are times when you simply can't explain to the little kid why you have to take the medicine or why you have to do this or why you have to do that. You know it's necessary. You know it's for the best. And, you know, you just can't give a three-year-old a lesson on contagious disease and the spread of the way germs are spread and the way they multiply and the way they affect your immune system. I mean, no, come off it. Even if you could try to come down with a lesson that was at their level, you just have to say, look, this is what you need to do. And so sometimes we, like little children, look at our Heavenly Father and say, what do you think you're doing? And God says, I love you. But kid, you couldn't understand it anyway. So trust me, love me. And like the nobleman, who had been blown off, you know, you want a miracle, don't you? And then in humility, he utters the cry of a parent. And in humility, he accepts what God says. Go your way. Just as we pray today, that we may have quiet and peace, that we may commit our cares to the Lord because he cares for us. May we all have the faith of that nobleman who just simply believed and went on his way believing, armed with faith, and was able to stand.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.